It's been a while, so let's start at the top of chapter 2 of 1 John. My little children, these things write I unto you, function, that you sin not. The verse does not say that you sin less, or that you shape up, or that you join a 12-step program. It says sinlessness, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Big issue there, which commandments? The 10 of Moses or the 2 new that Christ offers? Love your neighbor as yourself and love God first. And that is a big debate. We'll talk about that here shortly. Little children, we could run the references and find that every mention of little children, except for 3, is found in John's writings. And so he likes the term, and it describes the children of Israel.
Yeah.
It is important not to miss the point of why John is writing by his own testimony, is that you don't sin.
Yeah.
It's not that you sin less, but rather that you be sinless. Not for our sins only, is a lesson that Peter learned in Acts chapter 8 with Cornelius, tongue-talking Cornelius. And before then, Peter didn't realize that a Gentile could have position without having proselytized into Israel.
Yeah.
And again, the business of commandments, commandment-keeping, would be a test foreign to the grace message, but people try to morph it all together, and we'll see more about that as we move on. Now, those who do apply, and they're legion, who do apply the doctrines found in 1 John to our present dispensation must of necessity embrace heresies that they get to while quoting Bible verses. And one of the heresies is sinless perfection.
Yeah.
Another of them is being still under the law. Another of them would be evaluating salvation by how a person lives.
Yeah.
And a final one would be by requiring certain performance in order to be saved. So all of those things have a Bible basis.
Yeah.
It's not enough to be biblical. It's not enough to quote Scripture. One must rightly divide the word of truth. One of my favorite radio preachers of days gone by is a gentleman named Oliver B. Green.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a series of commentaries that he offered every time he was on the radio. You could buy this volume or that volume. In his commentary on the First Epistle of John on page 46, he says, in verses 3 through 6, we find the evidence whereby we know that we know God and that we are true believers, period. Next sentence. This assurance is ours because we keep his commandments.
Wow.
Now, here comes the debate. Are the commandments to be kept, the 10, or are the commandments to be kept those which the Lord gave about love? It doesn't help.
No.
Actually, the ones who try to get rid of the 10, largely because of Sabbath keeping, and have that not be the commandments to which John refers, and make it the love commandments, have actually made it much more difficult for a person to have any semblance of assurance. If you're to love another person as yourself, if you're honest, you've never done it. Not for any protracted period of time. Typically, the man drives his new Lincoln and his wife drives a used Hugo.
Yeah.
You know, the best feature on a Hugo was it had a heated rear window so that when you were pushing it, your hands were warm. typically, it's that way, that somebody gets the hand-me-downs. Now, those sorts of expositors are quick to make the commandments in verse 3, love rather than law. And you can make that case, except for verse 1.
Yeah.
The reason John's writing is that you wouldn't sin. Well, that's not about love. The law defines what sin is. So that's about the law.
Amen.
So to make the case for love commandments as opposed to law commandments has some justification. But to make that case at the exclusion of the law commandments, I think is tenuous and probably disingenuous and misleading.
Yeah.
Because clearly, as we're going to finish 1 John, we're going to see more and more references that wouldn't be about love, but would be about performance.
Yeah.
Now, it's important that we get our head around something, and my. I don't want to encourage you to be as cynical as am I. I want to hold the record. I don't want any ties. I want to be the most cynical person you ever met. That's me. So many pulpits are filled with unsaved people. Pews filled with unsaved people. And one way I know that, or believe I know that, is because I read and hear what they say about 1 John and what they say about salvation.
Yeah.
I have given you here a list of what John requires in his writings. John requires personal fellowship, 1 John 1, 3 to 7. Joy, joy, joy in the heart, 1 John 1, 4. Well, that comes and goes, doesn't it?
Yeah, boy.
Keeping his commandments, we can debate what it is, but note in 1 John chapter 3, in verse 22, this is the commandment that we should believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and love one another as he gave us commandment. How are you doing with that?
Not well.
Can we be honest?
Mm-hmm.
Number 4, walking as he walked, 1 John 2, 6. How are you doing with that?
Mm-hmm.
And is that objective or subjective? Is that doable? He's God manifest in the flesh. You don't have a Holy Ghost causing you to walk in his statutes.
Mm-hmm.
Number 5, love of the brethren. I found that really a strain. Overcoming the world. That's a struggle.
Yeah.
Overcoming the world and overcoming the devil. We lie to ourselves about what great overcomers we are. And you go back and read Lorenzo Dow. Go back and read Peter Cartwright. Go back and read John Wesley. Go back and read the great people of the faith in the 17th and 18th centuries. And you think to yourself, I'm a spiritual nitwit and a nerf ball.
Yeah.
Overcoming the world and overcoming Satan. And going straight from here to the store that sells booze. Oh, I know. You went there for fried chicken.
Right.
So at the time, you wouldn't go on the same side of the street. You'd have preached against it.
Yeah.
Do we hate the world? 1 John 2, 15 to 17. Are we one with all Christians? 1 John 2, 29. People claim to have the anointing. 1 John 2, 27, but I can promise you that they don't, because by the anointing of the Holy Ghost, they know everything, and usually it's the knuckleheads that claim to have the anointing.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm?
Yep.
Knowing the truth that sets them free. Well, we can morph that one and say we do. Acknowledging God in Christ, we can say we do that, according to the revelation of mystery. Doing righteousness. 1 John 2, 29. Again, holiness. See, the whole denominations lie about this one.
Yeah.
Purifying ourselves, as he is pure, 1 John 3, 3. Good luck with that one.
Mm.
Being born again. Now, that is a catchphrase.
Yeah.
And that is a slogan that somebody at today's Bengals game will take off his shirt and have John 3, 3 on his chest, or John 3, 16 on his chest. Born again is Israel, the firstborn son, having fallen, having been set aside, getting reinstituted, cleansing from sin, freedom from condemnation, 1 John 3:24, having the indwelling. Well, what the Holy Spirit does with our indwelling is different from what he does with theirs. He sealed them into the day of redemption. They have to endure the end. It's a list that I've given you in your notes that, if we're honest, we couldn't perform.
No.
The reason some folks quit is they're told their pattern is Matthew 5, 6, and 7, kingdom pattern. Their pattern for love is 1 John. And they can't execute it. They can't do it. They fall short. Well, you should. Because that's not who you are.
That's right.
You have a war in your members. These people aren't supposed to have one. Romans 7 tells you your condition. You've got an old man, and you've got a new man, and they are fighting for supremacy in your conscious mind, 24/7, 365, except for leap year, and then they try even harder.
Yes.
You've got that battle going on. Now, the two natures of humanity, the old man and the new man, is denied by holiness teaching. So, Church of God in Christ, the fastest growing black denomination, the Assemblies of God, the Methodists, the Wesleyan Holiness, those folks teach a Church of God Anderson, Indiana. The place where all the singers come from, whether it's the Gaithers or Andy Grant or, you know, Don, they all come from Church of God Anderson. Around here with Doug Oldham, was a local fellow.
Yeah.
They all teach eradication of the old nature.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be around some people that are the most nasty people, with their hair in a bun and smiling and saying, while they get out the fillet knife and cut you up. Glory be to God. It's those holiness folks.
Oh, yeah.
Telling you. Well, that's my hands-on personal experience, which I hope you never have to share. So, moving into new territory in verse 4. 1 John chapter 2, verse 4, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. As a believer, I come along and read that, and I'm grateful that my apostle Paul has explained to me that sin doesn't have dominion over me, and that I'm not under the law, Romans chapter 6, verse 14.
Yeah.
I'm glad he's explained to me in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, to stand fast in my liberty. I'm glad that he explained unto me that when I follow the rudiments of the law and pay attention to one day over another, he's worried about me because, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year's, you observe days and months and times and years, I'm afraid of you,
yeah,
lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain.
Yeah.
And here you've got most every church that thinks it started on a Jewish feast day. And Paul says, I'm afraid of you.
Yeah.
Connecting the dots is apparently a difficult thing for folks to do.
Oh, yeah.
Romans chapter 7, well, you have to know what the dots are.
Amen.
Romans chapter 7, verse 6, we're delivered from the law. Romans chapter 8, verse 2, we're free from the law. Now, what folks who know a bit about the gospel of the grace of God and might stumble across 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 to 4 as being the gospel, must of necessity do when they come to 1 John chapter 2, verse 3, is to make the commandments that he is referring to the love commandments.
Yeah.
And I've already told you, that's a legitimate case you can make. And I've given you the cross reference, 1 John 3:22. It's a legitimate case you can make, but I don't believe you can make it to the exclusion of Moses' law because of the content of verse 1, the point of it being sinlessness, not how you get along and love other people.
Exactly.
So I think both are on the table. Whatever you think, if you go along with, whether it be Oliver B. Green or whether it be J. Vernon McGee or whoever, with the idea being that the commandments, the 1 John chapter 2, verse 3, really correspond to John chapter 13, verse 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I loved you, that you also love one another. In John chapter 14, verse 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. So, in 1 John chapter 3, we looked at verse 22. Verse 23 says, this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandments, and that he keepeth his commandments, dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. That enabling Spirit is a very different thing from what you and I have experienced, mm-hmm. where the Spirit places us into the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, setting all the mid-Acts Pauline dispensational arguments, which are many, setting them aside as if they did not exist, I'm not helped. If I know that I know the Lord because I love everybody, I don't know of anybody that measures up to that 100%.
Yeah.
There's somebody out there you got a problem with.
Yep.
There's somebody waiting that's going to be a problem.
Oh, yeah.
So, I'm not helped. If I'm to love others as Christ loved me, and I put myself in that, let's see. He died for me. I might take a whap in the shoulder for you. And that's what Paul's talking about in Romans chapter 5. Well, the truth of the matter is, I think 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 has double application. I think that because of what follows in chapter 3 and what preceded it in verse 1 of chapter 2, that the double application involves, why wouldn't it involve Israel's standing in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John with the law relationship being endued with power, Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 27, caused to walk in his statutes, and the ones they crucified, now they esteem. And we're all members with the Holy Spirit in you and doing the same thing toward the same purpose, and we're all going to the same kingdom. Why would there not be dual application for these people? Because both things are going on for them simultaneously. Mm-hmm. I think that works. If you teach the love to the exception and exclusion of the law issue, what folks have done is try to do an end run and make it easier, make it doable. Mm-hmm. But actually, if you're serious about what the love involves, I think it raises the standard to a point where, without the Holy Ghost enablement, you're lying to yourself. Mm-hmm. 1 John chapter 4, verse 21, this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. That can be a challenge.
Yes.
It's true for the people of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's true for the kingdom people that Malachi chapter 4, verse 4 speaks to them, remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him at Horeb for all Israel with my statutes and judgments, that both things are going on. And I know this. I know in the tribulation, Israel sings the song of Moses.
Yeah.
Now, you and I don't think of a song being where you put doctrine so that you teach people doctrine by singing. Yeah. You and I tend not to think that way. Big Bird thinks that way.
Oh, yeah.
Big Bird sings the alphabet song. See? And so you can learn the alphabet. You can learn things why the Electric Company was one of my favorite TV programs. And you learn to sing about the malfunction junction and the conjunctions and all of that business. You're dealing with a time when a lot of people couldn't read or write. Much of the wrong doctrine that is in churches today got there not from the Bible, not from the pulpit, but from the hymnal.
Amen, amen.
Because you had a largely illiterate society in the United States of America that could sing.
Mm-hmm.
And so they sang the songs. They learned the songs, and they learned Swing Down, Sweet Chariot. When he didn't go up in the chariot.
No.
He went up in a whirlwind.
That's right.
Bible Schmeibel. Mm-hmm. They learned Archie, the animals get on two by two when they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
So things are put into the pulpit in the pew from hymnody that aren't right. Well, Moses ensconced doctrine in a song. In Revelation chapter 15, verse 3, you see that the people of Israel in the tribulation are singing the song of Moses. Well, I can find the song of Moses in my Bible.
Yes. Yeah.
He says in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 22, here's a song I'm teaching Israel. And then in the next chapter, he sings the song.
Yeah.
So I can read Deuteronomy chapter 32, having been told in 31:30, this is the song of Moses. And I can read what's in Deuteronomy chapter 32, and when he gets down to verse 44, at the end of verse of chapter 32, Moses came and spake all the words of this song. Well, this song must be then what lies between Deuteronomy 31:30 and Deuteronomy 32:44.
Mm-hmm.
Duh. So I could read that and know what they're singing in Revelation 15:3.
Right.
Hmm. Those folks were under the law. They needed to learn about a Messiah. They needed to learn about the love issue. So I don't know that it's mutually exclusive. I think it's very likely a double application for the people who do fit in the context. Now these people, Revelation chapter 12, verse 17 is an important verse. These people of 1 John must have faith in their Messiah and keep the commandments. Now, Revelation chapter 12, verse 17 is tribulation Israel. And it's the remnant of her seed which keep the commandments of God. That's not going to be love one another. That's going to be Moses. And have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, Revelation chapter 12, verse 17, may I say to you, that's the Seventh-day Adventist mantra, right there.
Yeah.
Revelation chapter 14, verse 12, here's the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and faith. See the duality?
Yeah.
So in Revelation 22, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they might have a right to the tree of life and may enter in. Commandment keeping to get into Dodge.
Yep.
What I'm trying to say, and we need to back up and make sure we're getting our head around it, is the people who force 1 John's doctrines into Paul's revelation of the mystery must of necessity undermine the clarity of the gospel of the grace of God and your position in respect to your having been crucified with Christ rather than keeping the law and confessing when you don't.
Yeah.
They're mutually exclusive. So, people's faith in the Messiah produced a performance that was fitting And that fitting performance, 1 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20, the ones that escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that they might again be entangled therein and overcome, the latter is worse with them than at the beginning. The warning is fearsome, falling into the hands of an angry God. So, James says, here's the deal. It's by works that a man is justified and not by faith only.
Yeah.
James chapter 2, verse 24.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not meaning to identify right and wrong. I'm working on the premise you can do that and have done that. What we get from this is that the motives for the wrong teaching emanating from pulpits might be very much oriented toward a kingdom dominion theology, even among people who say you're saved by grace through faith. Which, if I'm right about that, is why every evangelical Fox News watching Republican wants their guy to do what the Democrats say they're doing. Kingdoms,
yeah.
There's a disconnect.
Yeah.
If you're here on the road and the road goes to the kingdom, you're here.
Mm-hmm.
You call it a city on a hill. You don't know that kingdom. You call it American, except you don't know that kingdom. Well, I'm not with those people. Oh, yeah? You're saying their stuff.
That's it.
You don't like the looks of it. William Bradford, 1619. There was no Thanksgiving celebration. The whole colony, half of which died on the boat coming over, the whole colony that survived had everything in common. Nobody's house was to be bigger than anybody's house. Nobody else's land was to be bigger than anybody else's land. Acts 2.
Mm-hmm.
Kingdom. New world. Promised land. They're starving. Bradford says, 8 acres for each of you is for you to do with as you please. Grow what you will. Everything else is still communal. But you get 8 acres. First Thanksgiving follows that.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. That's Paul. Provide for your own.
Yeah.
If you don't, you're worse than an infidel.
That's it.
So the theology of our politics is so... It's sad to watch, really.
Yeah.
Because the folks who I think want to do the right thing are doing it in a way that's going to end them up the same place the other time. Maybe quicker.
Mm-hmm.
What's the system in a kingdom?
Top-down.
What's the system in Christ's kingdom? Called a theocracy, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You going to vote?
No.
You don't need to. You going to question anything?
No.
You need a Supreme Court?
No.
You need a legislature?
No.
Bringing in the kingdom? We're defending the Constitution. We're breaking up. No, you're going to dispense of the Constitution when you get your way ultimately.
Yeah.
I said, that'll never happen. Right. It's an election guy that believes in the White Horse prophecy. I just look at it and I think, I'm glad I don't care much. I do care, mm-hmm. but not much.
Yeah.
Because I know it's going to go to hell in a handcart, and the Antichrist is going to be the next major figure to show up.
That's mm-hmm. right.
I'm not expecting worldwide revival and peace on earth. My Lord said that's not going to happen. I believe Him.
Yes.
Well, I'm no fun. I'm not sure which came first. The fact that I don't like parties, or the fact that I never get invited to them. I'm not sure which came first. Now, I teach that my relationship with God on the merits of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is different from Israel's relationship with God on the merits of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sure sounds a lot alike.
Yeah.
But I've got a different plan of salvation by grace through faith, without commandments of the love nature or the law nature.
That's right.
Which means I could get expelled from any university in America.
Oh, yeah.
Any accredited seminary on planet Earth would kick me out. I'd have loved to have been there when an acquaintance of mine that I had a few letters from and personal conversations on the phone with, David Otis Fuller, was the guest speaker at the devotional hour at Bob Jones University, and they wouldn't let him finish his talk, and they walked him out of the pulpit, sent him out the door. I'd have liked to have been there to applaud him.
Yes.
Way to go, Don.
Yes, sir.
The most dispensational seminary in America is Dallas Theological Seminary, at which, astride a hog, a Harley Davidson, wearing leather pants and leather jacket, shades, and a leather Marlon Brando hat, comes their new president, Charles R. Swindoll. You following this?
Yeah, buddy.
And he rides onto the Dallas campus. You got to be one of the guys, right? Is that what you want to turn out?
No.
And he promises to remove from Dallas any vestiges of dispensationalism. I'm jealous of his heart. No, I'm not.
No.
I'm jealous of his leather. No, I'm not.
Got good hair.
Lewis Sperry Schaefer was the first president of Dallas Theological Seminary. He wrote a wonderful systematic theology that has some merit to it. He's written a lot of marvelous. His book on true spirituality, one of the best books I've ever read. And he has enough Paul in him to get a lot of things right. So you don't have to read every third page. You can read every second page. He was the first president, founder of Dallas Theological Seminary, and it's gone straight downhill ever since he died.
Yeah.
You could get thrown off Liberty University's campus or Cedarville's. University of Dayton, of the Jesuit school called Xavier. Hard telling what they'd like to do to you if they could get away with it.
Yeah.
As they do still in other countries.
Yeah.
Well, it's important, I think, to recognize that whether you make the commandments of verse 3 love or law, you don't do either.
That's it.
And if that's the measure by which you know the Lord and not the gospel of the grace of God, then your teaching is fatally flawed and your audience is suffering mightily as a result.
Yeah.
In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 4, he that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. I've highlighted the word truth in your notes to compare it to 1 John chapter 1 verse 10, and his word is not in us. Look at what you can then interchange. His word is true.
Yeah.
Now, I knew that. But it's nice when you see it in a close context, such as 1 John chapter 1, verse 10, and chapter 2, verse 4, the interchangeable aspects of His Word being true. Now, we come to verses 5 and 6. Whoso keepeth His Word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we... John uses the word know a lot. Why? Well, there's liars, there's deceivers, yeah. There's the Antichrist, there's charlatans, there's false Christs. You need to know what the deal is. Hereby know we that we are in Him. He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also to walk even as He walked. Really? Jesus never walked into any church on a Sunday morning.
Right.
He walked into a temple on a Saturday.
Yep.
How are you doing so far? Jesus would go to the one that sat in Moses' seat to find out how to arbitrate an issue.
Yeah.
Matthew chapter 23, verses 1, 2, and 3. How are we doing so far? So, to try to morph this and spiritualize this, well, I'm following in Jesus' footsteps. That is a new level of megalomania. He's God manifest in the flesh, and you're doing what He did. That elevates you into a scary level. Isn't it nice to know that He interceded for us and took our place?
Amen.
If I have to walk as He walked, forgetting the fact that I can't walk on water except in December, January, forgetting that I can't do the loaves and fishes business, walking as He walked involved what Hebrews calls tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Walking as He walked. 1 John is a favorite book of holiness people. And since it's got so much love in it, that's why they smile at you before they stab you in the back.
Yes, absolutely.
They can't sin.
No.
There's an Assembly of God in Miamisburg, Ohio. They owed me a couple hundred dollars at the bookstore.
Yeah, they did.
So I call them. Hey, you're 60 days past due. Well, the Holy Ghost hasn't led us to pay yet. And I said, well, I think the Holy Ghost is leading me to call the cops.
You call yourself a Christian?
You call yourself a Christian. You know, not that. That's exactly right. But they don't believe they can sin.
Yeah.
They morph it all. They change it all. Galatians lists the works of the flesh in chapter 5. They make it just that list. Anything else, right? Have yourself. Now, our apostle explains to me, I've just given you a dozen, but there's many, many more, how I need to work on doing better. How I ought to walk.
Mm-hmm.
It's not predicated upon commandment keeping. I need to learn as I should walk in newness of life. I need to learn what that is. I need to learn, Romans 13:13, to walk honestly. He wouldn't waste his time telling me these things if it was a given and a requirement. Obviously, there's some shortfall going on, and Paul's explaining it to me so that I know how to deal with it. It's important that I learn how to deal with it.
Yeah.
Now, I cannot stand before you and say, well, I got it all in tow now, and I've dealt with it all. Because your flesh doesn't know He's crucified. He doesn't want to take that position. He doesn't want to die. And He'll fight you hammer and tongs every step of the way.
Yeah.
That's why the issue in Romans 7, when Paul says, the good that I would, I do not, and that I would not, that I do.
Yeah.
Holiness commentaries say of Romans 7, Paul was not saved when he wrote it. You see their problem.
Mm-hmm.
Part of their problem is they're standing in 1 John and saying, that's us. Big portions of your Bible include lies, testimonies of unsaved rascals. The Bible accurately quotes wrong things said.
Yeah.
You get whole stories told of wickedness, do you not?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So the holiness says, well, Romans 7, see, Paul didn't say yet. They have to say something.
Yeah.
They know there's a problem. They have to cover it somehow.
Yeah.
So you have to sort out, would that be right or not? How many times, oh my, I wear out certain pages in the Bible because they just keep coming up so often. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, where Paul says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, did not cease to pray for you and to desire.
Yeah.
That you might be filled with the, number one, knowledge of his will, number two, in all wisdom, number three, in spiritual understanding, that has those three things, then the function, verse 10, that you might walk worthy. Wait a minute. I need to learn stuff. I need to learn wisdom, spiritual understanding. I need to learn knowledge that I might walk worthy. That certainly isn't how 1 John sounds. So, I learned early on the importance of a worthy walk. But you don't get it by saying, dear Lord, give me a worthy walk. You get it by study, learning the knowledge of his will. Now, it's one thing to know the facts. Get the data,
yeah,
the knowledge of his will. Another thing to use the facts wisely.
Yeah.
Wow, that can be iffy. That can be tenuous. That can be difficult. The Lord knows the end from the beginning, and you just know what's in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
And then, not simply Solomon's wisdom, but a spiritual understanding. As if then that you are able to understand things that aren't on the surface, that aren't plain and clear. Wow. So, talk about a learning curve. Verse 9, you got quite a learning curve. Our prayers, our priorities, our preaching needs to have some relationship to verses 9 and 10 of Colossians chapter 1. I've said a million times, this will make a million and one, and I never exaggerate. That the most important thing after learning that you're saved by the gospel of the grace of God is finding out who God made you in Christ Jesus and then walking accordingly.
Yeah.
It's not an automatic. 1 John chapter 2, verse 7, brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which you heard from the beginning. The beginning there is going to match up with the beginning spoken of in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. It's going to be Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, not Genesis 1.
Yeah.
That you heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. So, the old commandment, someone will make that what the Lord said. I'm not so certain that it isn't. It wouldn't be from Genesis, but would be the law program in which they labored because Jesus sent them forth, telling them to only go into the city of the Israel, to the lost sheep of Israel, and not to the city of the Samaritans, and not into the way of the Gentiles.
Right.
Why? Well, think now. When was that dichotomy in place? Genesis 17, Genesis 22. Those people, it didn't disannul the promise made to them, but they had the commandment given to them.
Mm-hmm.
So once again, I have to say that 1 John, you can make a case that it's the love commandments, but you can also make a case that it's the law commandments.
Yeah.
Now, the commandments, if it is simply love, and the commentators love that because it gets them out from under Sabbath keeping. If it is that, you've made it harder. Love others as Christ loved you. Believest thou that I'm in the Father and the Father in me? John 14, 10 and 11. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doth the works. Believe that I'm in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe in me for the very work's sake. If you love me, keep my commandments. Verse 15 of John 14. To love other people with the self-sacrificing total devotion that the Savior came to this earth to rescue his creation.
Mm.
On my best day, I'm nowhere near that. So rather than making it easy by getting you out from under Moses' law, I think the truth of the matter is the commentators make it 10 times harder. And without the Holy Ghost endowment of power, and without that change that the Holy Ghost brings about, God says in Jeremiah 31, and he says in Hebrews chapter 8, and he says in Ezekiel chapter 36, he puts a new heart in them.
Right.
Paul never tells me I got a new heart. Paul tells me I need to squelch the old man.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a difference. When you try to morph 1 John into the dispensation of God's grace without exception, you must of necessity undermine the clarity, the simplicity, the purity of the grace message. You have to mix it with some level of performance if it's only group hugs.
Yeah.
You have to mix it with some level of performance, and that is always a wrong thing.